I speak to you in the name of the living God, blessed Trinity, and lover of your souls. Amen. That's 1892. The Reverend Charles Sheldon published his book, In His Steps, where he unwittingly asked a question that would one day become a societal catchphrase. What would Jesus do? Sheldon also unwittingly forgot to copyright the words of his book, which went immediately into public domain as an instant bestseller. And almost 100 years later, in 1989, a Michigander youth minister named Janie Tinklenberg picked up the question, what would Jesus do, shortened it to WWJD, and partnered with Lesko Company, who slapped it onto bracelets, coffee mugs, and t-shirts until what would Jesus do became a multi-billion dollar industry. By 1998, after a popular radio broadcaster mentioned the swag on his show, whatwouldjesusdo.com was selling 300,000 bracelets a month. And so, the whole world became obsessed with doing what Jesus did. Which was great, right? Well, maybe at first. People read up on Jesus' life. They listened to sermons. They considered Jesus' motivations day in and day out and tried to parallel their actions with his. But there was another question critics of what would Jesus do were asking. What if I get the answer wrong? What if I ask what would Jesus do and instead I end up doing what Jesus would not do? WWJD bracelets came with the assumption that the answer to the question would be so obvious that everyone, from a seasoned theologian to a child with a slap bracelet, would come to relatively the same answer. The bracelets also came with the assumption that the results of asking the question would be automatically altruistic. But as it turns out, there is such a thing as pathological altruism. For real. It occurs when an attempt to promote the welfare of others instead results in unanticipated harm. Now, we know that Jesus condemned abuses of any kind. He highlighted the protection of any outsider of a community, of children, the poor, the spouseless, the friendless. He safeguarded all who were vulnerable, and he stood his ground against those who thought only of themselves. So, if your well-intentioned answer to WWJD causes you to fight only for your own health and wealth at the expense of the rights of the marginalized, or makes you indifferent to the suffering of others, you are not doing what Jesus would do. Today's New Testament reading helps us understand why even Christians sometimes get what Jesus would do wrong. The discourse in the book of Hebrews uses the priesthood as an example, because it is the priest's role to make sacrifices on behalf of the people. The author tells us that when Jesus' life and death shows us that making a sacrifice is exactly what Jesus did. He did it in a way that's different from any other priest. See, all other priesthoods, they end with the death of the priest. The author writes, but not Jesus' priesthood. Jesus is a priest forever. So this means that while human priests have to offer many sacrifices to save some people for only a short period of time, Jesus offered one sacrifice to save all people for all time. The author goes on to say that while human beings are sinful, Jesus is separated from sinners. He's holy, he's blameless, undefiled, and exalted above all. Jesus doesn't have to wear a WWJD bracelet to remember what Jesus would do or to consider what God desires. This difference between all other human beings and Jesus matters. And I'm not sure that this difference was taken into consideration when Janie Tinklenburg and all the rest of us, myself included, slapped on those WWJD bracelets, assuming that our sacrifices could save others. Ultimately, WWJD did not just get people to learn more about Jesus' life, it deluded people into thinking they could do what Jesus did, save others. WWJD unintentionally encouraged a kind of mass pathological altruism. And unfortunately, the world first heard about mass pathological altruism in the 1950s after the death of Adolf Hitler. British intelligence reports leaked that in 1942, a social scientist named Mark Abrams and his Cambridge researcher J.T. McCurdy were working with the psychological warfare branch of the BBC. 3 years before Hitler was killed, their report named that Hitler suffered from messiah complex. They saw the devastation that came from the ruler of a nation who was given great power to do what he thought Jesus would do if Jesus were him, and that too many others were following his lead. You see, less than a decade after the Reverend Sheldon first asked the world, what would Jesus do, and his book became a bestseller. Less than 10 years later, that's when Carl Jung developed complex psychology. And psychological awareness of the Messiah complex was born. Jung describes a complex, in general, as a knot of unconscious feelings and beliefs detectable indirectly through behavior that is puzzling and hard to account for. When someone repeatedly acts in an unreasonable and harmful way, but perceives that their actions are reasonable and helpful, this is a telltale sign of a complex. Now, Carl Jung says we all have complexes. The question is whether we have the complex or the complex has us. So Messiah complex, it can show up in obvious ways with a person's inflated sense of self-importance, an individual who sees themselves as the only solution to a problem. But it can also show up as someone who consistently gives to others while neglecting their own health. See, Messiah complex loves to tango with martyr complex, with those who claim they are victims of other people's actions, even when made aware of evidence to the contrary. This psychological dance between the savior and the victim is a tale as old as time. The dance becomes so messy that once it begins, it's hard to tell who the savior is and who the victim is. This is what codependency does. It convolutes the needs of people as well as whose job it is to fulfill those needs. As Archbishop Justin Welby of the Anglican Communion put it in an interview not too many months ago, WWJD becomes dangerous when we fail to remember that Jesus is the one who does the saving. Now, on a macro level, we have seen Messiah and martyr complexes reincarnate themselves around the globe in modern politics, anywhere we find positive language and violent results. And on the micro level, we see Messiah and martyr complex in our everyday lives. Remember, Carl Jung said that all of us suffer from complexes. How poorly they affect us and others depends on whether we control our complexes or they control us. So how do we combat the negative effects of these complexes in ourselves and in others? Well, we might remember as Christians that the origin of that question, what would Jesus do, came not from scripture or even from a theological treatise. It came from a novel, a fictional story, from a creative preacher who imagined what the world might look like if everyone followed Jesus in his steps. But the world, well, that world is a fiction and not the world we live in. Jesus came into this world to save it, not because it was made perfect by human beings, but because we needed saving. Jesus prepared his disciples to go out into a world expecting persecution, not cooperation. Those who have lived with human messiahs and martyrs, with pathological givers who ultimately give only to destruction, know that there are times we cannot do what Jesus would do. If you have ever been manipulated or exploited by an individual who leads you to believe they are the only one capable of saving you, you've likely learned that neither of you could do what Jesus did. If you have ever found yourself in an unhealthy codependent relationship where the rescuer dictates your life, convincing you that their control is for your own good, you've likely learned that neither of you could do what Jesus did. If you have ever given more than you've received and felt resentful about it, you've learned yourself that you can't do what Jesus did either. The truth is, none of us can do what Jesus did. And what he still does today saves us. When the world needs a savior, that's when we cannot be like Jesus. We can only be like ourselves. Jesus's beloved human friends, co-creators, co-children even, of the same Father, but still human beings who need saving. God made all creation and all of us, but God made only one perfect Son who gave his life once to save all. And Jesus still saves us today. Jesus is still the bearer of the justice of God today. And that is where we find the good news in all of this. Even if the good news is hard to hear. Because it's not until we admit that we cannot save ourselves or anyone else that we finally step out of the way enough to make room for Jesus to do what only he can do and save us all. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus saved us thousands of years ago and that he will keep saving us from whatever hell we experience. But he can only do it when we stop trying to save ourselves and each other. Not my will, but thy will be done, Jesus taught us to pray. Jesus also taught his disciples not only to serve the least among them, but also to become the least among them. Jesus taught his followers not just to wash the feet of others, but to let Jesus wash their feet. See, Christianity is about reciprocal relationships of divested power, not about toxic relationships between messiahs and victims. So, if you ever find yourself in the wake of the devastation of a messiah or martyr complex, if you find yourself in the middle of something that first appeared altruistic but is only producing destruction, hear me. That's when it's okay to take off the WWJD bracelet. That's the right time to admit you can't be like Jesus or do what Jesus would do, and that maybe, just maybe, now is the time to be your human self and to let Jesus come and save you.